Hi, everybody. This is Jen Plank. Oh, my gosh. I could, like, spend all day talking about Michael Cole. This man is truly an icon and a legend, and he continues to just be a game changer, you know, even today. And the thing that's cool about Michael Cole is I can remember a long, long time ago, I was a really young stylist, and there was another girl, and she started right at the same time I did. We both got our chairs. And Michael Cole came to our salon and he taught a business class. And I was like, whatever. But this girl was like, well, I'm going to lock in. And at our salon, you could like lock in at a higher commission level. Like you had to produce so much money per a month and then you would like lock in and reach this level. And this girl and I, it was like on. She was like, you know, I'm going to lock before you. And I was like, no, you're not. I'm going to lock before you. And Michael Cole came and we both bought those jump journals and started writing stuff down. And literally, we both locked within 6 months. And we broke the history of the company. It was the fastest anybody had ever locked in. And we tied. And it was like Michael Cole had come and just lit a fire into two young hairdressers that was just like a game changer right out of the gate. I mean, right out of the gate, it was, we were shown what we could be. Now, you know, over the years, a few things have happened along the way where I may have had a selective memory loss here and there on a few tips and taken the high road a couple of times. However, I will say this. Michael Cole, to me, is like what Vidal Sassoon was to us as a stylist. Michael Cole is like the Vidal Sassoon of business and beauty. He literally broke the sound barrier for beauty professionals to look at what we do as a business and a career, and to change the way we behave so that we receive some respect. And he's iconic. There's no other way to put it. He's iconic. And the cool thing about Michael is, you know, you can still approach him. I can call him. A real mentor is in your life from like the beginning to the end. And, you know, whether we're on the road together, he's always got a hug and a high five for both me and for Lacey. And, you know, he still is just such a great leader, mentor, and coach for all of us. So, I mean, who better than the feature than Michael Cole?
Hey, hey, welcome to your day off. My name is Corey. Of course, I'm sitting next to my buddy, Tony. What's up, Tony?
What's up, homie?
Nothing, man. So today's kind of the day.
Yeah, this is the day that I've been waiting for since we started this podcast.
You know what? You're absolutely correct. I mean, we started it just a few months ago, and I never thought we could. You know what? I kind of feel like that a giraffe, right? And like I'm this big long-necked giraffe, and we're kind of pulling off the top of the tree. Like it's like right, the top of the food chain now, and that's kind of where we are today.
Well, see, I felt opposite. I felt like the little short giraffe. I couldn't quite reach the top of the tree. Now today, I feel like a big giraffe.
No, that's what I'm saying. All right. I kind of feel like we're pulling off the top of the tree, man. Like we're pulling the big fruit today, you know?
That's true, right? Yeah. The unreachable fruit.
That's right. That's it's incredible, right? So, I mean, I'm going to get into it, and I like how we play coy. You know what's funny to me is that we advertise for, like, weeks about, like, who's coming on, and then we open up the mics, and then we play coy like nobody knows who's our guest today. So, right. It seems kind of, like, counterproductive, but, you know, whatever. It is what it is. So, today, we have the legend, the man, the legend. We have Mr. Michael Cole on our show today, and I'm super excited. Michael's been an incredible influence to, I'm going to say everybody in the industry, because even those youngins who don't quite know who Michael is yet, they certainly feel what Michael's given the industry.
Oh, and he's changed careers, lives, you know what I mean? Yeah, so many people in this industry.
Dude, you just gave me the chills. I mean, I literally just thought about that. I mean, he has changed lives. He's like Mr. Superman, right? He's incredible. Well, we're going to try to find out if he got bit by a radiated spider or if he got radiated at some point, you know, what made him Superman. So, but I mean, kind of before we get into that, you know, a lot of us know Mr. Cole or Michael Cole as, you know, the brand, you know, Michael Cole, the brand or the little cartoon character that we used to see on the clamshells and stuff. But, you know, today, you know, par for course for what we're trying to do is, you know, we really want to get to know who the man Michael Cole is and where he comes from and what motivates him and what inspires him
and just you know, where he came from. And
that's cool, though. You know, like he's inspired so many that hopefully we'll get into who's inspiring him now. You want to get into it?
Let's do it.
Hey, Mr. Michael Cole, thank you for joining us on your day off.
Oh, man, listen, this better be good after all the bragging you did on me, man. Thank you for inviting me to be part of the conversation. I just have the highest regard for what you two are doing and pioneering podcasting for hairdressers, salon owners.
Great. Michael, thank you so much. And, you know, just a little backstory on Tony and I. Tony and I actually grew up together, went to high school together, and we started in the industry just about 30 years ago. And we've been inseparable, you know, pretty much ever since high school, but certainly in the salon industry. And you're a big part of how we've stayed in the industry for 30 years. You know, like Tony said, you've changed so many lives. You want to get right into it?
Let's do it.
Yeah, you're up, Tony.
All right, Mr. Michael Cole. Where are you from? Where did you grow up as a kid?
What's your story?
Yeah.
Well, technically, I was born in Omaha, Nebraska, and grew up extremely impoverished. Lived in South Omaha housing projects from the time I could remember. I think in the second grade, we moved to Minneapolis, St. Paul, and then, you know, a new housing project. So on welfare most of my life. You struggled, you know, like a lot of people in school, didn't get the 3 R's down. So, you know, I went through the ride, and hairdressing had my name written all over it. It's an art form. It's an expression. And so I've spent most of my life now in Minneapolis, St. Paul. My family of origin is here, and it's just been an extraordinary ride, man.
So when you got into hair, did you do that like in high school, or was it shortly after high school, or how did that, how'd you get into, you know, our world?
Yeah, well, I grew up in a private Catholic parochial. My father and mother figured out how we could get the tuition handled. And I had no business in those schools. It's just, actually was later on diagnosed as dyslexic and had some reading processing difficulties, you know, ADHD stuff. And back in those days, they didn't have those labels. They just called you special. And so I just, technically, when I graduated from high school, I couldn't read or write. Now, by that, I meant that I could read something. But if you said, what did you just read? I don't know. Gee, you'd need to do an essay on that. Well, I can write a sentence, but I can't write a paragraph, never mind an essay. So I took the college entrance exam, and that did not go well. And, you know, vocational was a kind of a default for me. So I did a year in the world, just kind of a common laborer, and that didn't go well. And, you know, there are no accidents, but I happened to be walking downtown Minneapolis, St. Paul in May of like 72, 73, big brick building. I saw, you know, a handful of people my age. I think I was 17 or 18 at the time, in front of a building that said Ritter's Beauty College. And I was clueless. I just said, hey, you know, what is this? And then they just started telling me about the ride. How long does it take to get a degree? Well, you don't get a degree. You do 9 months, you take an exam, and then you get a license. Oh, okay. Is there any reading, writing, or arithmetic involved? No, not really. How's it work? Well, you come to school every day, you do an hour in class, and then you kind of go out on the floor and you take turns when clients come in to, you know, like do their hair. And then in between, while you're waiting, it's cool. You can like, you know, sit in the sun, smoke, drink Cokes, whatever your thing is. I thought, oh my God, that really sounds enjoyable. So I just on a whim took the ride. And the rest is history, man. I mean, you blink and now I'm, you know, 64 and it's been almost 50 years.
That's incredible.
And you made such an impact in this industry in those 54 years.
I know. It's funny, like, you know, through the podcast, we've been very fortunate to get to talk to a lot of people. And it's amazing how many people kind of like got into this industry, you know, accidentally. You know, almost everybody that we've talked to kind of was like, oh, I accidentally got in here, you know. And what an incredible industry, right? I mean, think about how many losers this industry has saved, right?
Well, I think it's a great, you know, it used to be a heck of a lot easier to enter it when, you know, tuition was a few hundred dollars. Now, you know, it's your price tag could be 20, 25 grand. But
yeah, no doubt.
But I think there's a difference between getting in and then doing well once you're in. And, you know, you guys, you know, you listen to the stories like me every day. And, you know, it, somewhere in there, like I didn't come in. I came in. I was messed up. I mean, you know, when you grow up in the inner city, you know, I had no social etiquette, you know, and all the attitudes that went with it. So I did it. I didn't do it well before, you know, I met, you know, first coaches and mentors, and then they kind of helped me to unlearn what was keeping me stuck so that I could have a better ride. And I really, frankly, got my soul got touched by that kind of coaching and mentoring. It was one of those deals. You know what? When I grow up, I want to be a coach and mentor. I want to coach hairdressers on how I've been coached, because it's not, it revolutionized my income, but it also changed me not only as a hairdresser, but a person. So, you know, that's going on 40, and I'm still, you know, teaching what I'm trying to learn, but I get to watch the effects that the conversations have on people that I coach and mentor. And now I'm, you know, part of coaching and mentoring other coaches on how to do it. It's right. Just been a glorious ride, man.
It's amazing. So let's get into at least the first part of that story. How many years, and I'm going to use, you know, So how many years did you waste before you this industry found you?
I think I had five in. I met my wife in beauty school, and we were married shortly thereafter. She went to work for a company that really had coaching and mentoring built in. I didn't. Actually, my first position as a hairdresser was working for the guy that founded Aveda, passed away a few years ago, Horst Rickelbacher, rest his soul. But I was his assistant and really learned the art part of hairdressing, did well, grew up in his company. But to grow in those companies, you just, to the degree you can do hair, you're going to do well. But, you know, the irony was I couldn't retain clients. My mannerisms were such that as well as I did here, that didn't overcompensate for, you know, all the attitudinal stuff. Meanwhile, my wife is working in the company that I eventually became employed in. And they're back in the 70s, it was really edgy. In addition to technical, their, you know, motivation, personal development, attitude, you know, how do you communicate to clients? How do you retail? How do you rebook? How do you do referral? And I watched her do three times my income in that five-year window. And then as we started to have a family, that's when it got dicey. It's like, you know, okay, Michael, we're not going to be able to make it if we're going to live on your income as we're raising, you know, by then two children. So that's when I met my first coach, which was her boss. And he basically took me under his wing. I think he saw that I could really do great hair from my days at Horst. And in his mind, if this guy catches on to the other piece, the business side of the art, I'm going to make him an educator. And that's what happened. And it just, that was, you know, we all have our definable moments. That
mm-hmm. So Michael, did he pick you up? I mean, did he pat you on the back, or did he shake some sense into you? I mean, what did that look like? Or did he just believe in you? And is that all you needed? Or did you need a good, like a slap in the face?
Yes to all the above. I mean, if you want to be a good student, to the degree that you're in crisis, whether it's financial crisis, emotional crisis, social crisis, I was in crisis, because eventually if negativism stays unchecked, the time release capsules dissolve and you're going to have situations. So I was in trouble. I think in that five-year window, we were separated three times. So my wife was back there thinking, I picked the runt of the litter here. And she's very close to saying, we're done. And that's when I talked to him. And, you know, you get me talking about that too much, I get weepy, because he was, you know, he had the eyes to see and the ears to hear. An enlightened soul, a good man, brilliant business man, educator, teacher, coach. When he passed away in the 90s, I think his net worth was just under 40, 50 million bucks. And, wow. You know, and he started like us, man. I mean, he was like a hairdresser behind the chair, and took me out to coffee, told me his story, you know, the how he was, the what happened and how he's like now. And because once upon a time he was upside down, as he told me his story, the how his life used to be, that was his past, but that was my present. It's like this guy is telling me the way he used to be. He's describing my life now. And then wow. the what happened to him at the time, it was happening to me. I just didn't know it. And then when he said, and you know, fast forward 10, 20 years later, here's how this has changed my life. I didn't know it at the time, but he was giving me a vision of what was possible if I was, you know, ready to change. And then said, you know, how's that sound? And I said, look, man, I'm in. And he says, give me 6 months of your life and I'll coach you. And if it's not working in six, it probably won't. So you can always go back to being what you were being before you met me. And I think he was giving us both an out.
Right.
and he said, if you're going to hang, he wrote four words on a napkin. You know, the only thing I don't bring to the table is willingness, you know, and willingness, as he said, was just a desire to have a better life than the life you had. And of course, I was like willingness on steroids. And then, you know, the second demonstration is believe, a willingness to believe in me, your coach, that I know what I'm doing, a willingness to believe in the ideas that I'm going to give you, a willingness to believe in yourself, that you're capable of doing the ideas. And he could tell that I was struggling with that part. I just had, you know, I was an egomaniac, but I had very low self-esteem. And he said, I'm going to loan you my belief in you until you can believe it for yourself. So he's one of these guys that believed that in all of us, you know, there's potential. There's the good in me that's yet to be discovered by me. And he said, I know it's there. I'm going to believe it's there. You believe in my belief. And if what happened to me and other people happen to you, you're going to catch on. And then demonstrate your belief by taking action on these ideas. He called it practice. And he said, if it works, your life's going to change. And if it changed, I'd ask you to demonstrate it by, back in those days, it was pass it on. Today, it's pay it forward. And what I thought was going to be a 6 month ride, you blink, it's 1 year later. I changed more in that year than probably my entire life. At the time I was like 24, 25. And, you know, we're celebrating what's happening to me. He invites me over to his house for dinner. My wife comes, I come, it's his wife, him. And he's telling all of his wife and my wife about the year. And in that process, I just started crying. I'd never been that grateful before. And he came, hugged me, said, keep on booming. And he said, so you're ready to keep the promise. And that was that you would pass it on. And that was my on-ramp to being a business educator. He would hire new people, bring them to my station and say, Michael, this is, you know, this is Corey. Corey, this is Michael. Michael, Corey, this is Corey's first week. And I'm going to have Corey hang out with you because he called it, you've earned the right. You're now walking the talk, showing the no. And then if you are ready, then you would change. And some are and some aren't. And, you know, that is what it is. And I started doing that. And that was 1980. And that was my on-ramp in doing this.
That's beautiful. What a wonderful story.
That's incredible. Yeah. I mean, that's what an incredible gift, you know?
Yeah.
And not the gift of like just giving, you know, Michael a chance, but also the gift that he gave Michael permission to create what ended up being his entire, career story. You know, he gave him permission to pay it forward, as we say. That's incredible. So Michael, through that year of the growth and, you know, not to get, well, screw it, we'll get it there. How did that impact your marriage? Because you said, you know, before that the years were tough. So did
well, in retrospect, it saved the marriage because, you know, if you want to, you know, he taught me many things, but if you want to have a better marriage, become a better mate. And before that it was, I want to have a better marriage. It's almost like I said to my wife, I'm unhappy, you need to change. Right? And right. It doesn't work. So, you know, better on myself than I do on my wife. And, you know, he coached me that. So as I changed, it got better. And yeah, you know, I mean, you know, when you hang out with, so we just celebrated our 43rd. So, you know, we've been coming back a few times, but we've come out on the other side always better than, you know, we were before it was our turn to go into the barrel again. So that and my family now, my children are, you know, late 30-somethings just inside of 40-something. So they grew up, you know, at the shows, sleeping underneath product tables as I was, you know, in classes. So it changed every fiber in my life. So I got a gift with purchase that I was a great educator, but my life got better as a result. And there's been coaches and mentors after Joe, but you always remember the first one. So even today, you know, every couple of weeks I go and spend an hour and a half with my mentor, my coach, and she's a professional. I give her money, and great coaches and mentors, they're welcomed intruders. They're more than great teachers. We let them in to engage us in conversations that we don't let other people have with us. A good coach and mentor, their job is to help me see what's next in me that's in my way that I have to see. You know, I'm either going to see it or be it, so I can get it out of my way. Because as we, you know, you get stuff out of our way, we just get better. So, and now I'm teaching others the way I continue to be taught.
What a fantastic, thank you for being so transparent and being so honest with us. I mean, that's amazing.
It's truly amazing. So, I'm going to jump on here.
Yeah. So when I think most people know you for is, you know, obviously, you know, a fantastic business coach, and, most people probably met you through Summit. How was Summit conceived? I mean, where did Summit
all seemingly accidents, really, you know, the universe has got its hands in it. But in 85, I was doing 2-day seminars for owners and managers in independent salons. And a guy came to one of those seminars, and that man is Randy Kunkel. And at the time, he was a small independent salon owner, you know, somewhere in the rural areas of Indiana. And he liked a lot with, you know, he sat in 2 days and heard a lot of stuff and, you know, bought all the tapes and books and went home. And unlike a lot of people that come, sit, listen, buy stuff and leave with the best of intentions, you know, Randy actually like went home, took the books out of the bag, cracked the shrink wrap, you know, read the books, listened to the audios and actually began to take action. And his businesses got better. He got better. And that's not always the case when people come. And so what Randy's like me, he's an entrepreneur, and he just saw that there was a number of people that would go to those classes and not do what he did. So he started saying to people that were going to my classes, and this was unbeknownst to me, I had no idea this was going on. Hey, listen, I went to these classes and I went home and did these things. And I know sometimes it's hard to go home and do these things because your staff pushes back, or maybe you get stuck by yourself. If you'd like, for, you know, a couple $100, I'll come in and help you to actually like implement this. I'll coach you on it. I'll coach your people. So he was the coaching side of Summit long before I met him. And then as he started growing, I started hearing from distributors that I was doing business with, hey, this guy, Randy Kunkel, he's doing this. Are you cool with him? You know, they would call it, you know, stealing your stuff. It's like, what? It's like, no, I'm not a coach. I do seminars. And so in 99, I think it was 99, Randy met me at a show, and I kind of remembered him, and he was telling me just what I told you, and he actually dropped to his knees and he begged me not to sue him. And I go, dude, get up, right? And he said, well, I just, you know, it's working. And I said, listen, God bless. It's, you know, it's really cool that you're doing this. And I'm in the seminar business, you're in the coaching business. And if people come to my rooms can be better served by you, God bless. And so the next day he called me and he said, I've been up all night. I got you. The other thing I need to tell you, Michael, is all the people that go to your seminars, when I help them, they do really well. But there's a lot of people that don't go to your seminars that want me to help them. And when I help them, they struggle. I got a hunch that if you and I work together, we did the seminars together, and then we'll kind of promote the coaching. I think that would work way better than whatever you're doing and whatever I'm doing. And he said, you know, I'll even give you a piece of my day fee. And that's how Summit was started. We actually did our first two or three summits in my living room. And at the time, I lived on an avenue, Summit Avenue, 1381 Summit. So, you know, that's really where the name came from. Because
well, it seems to work.
distributors like, you know, the guy in Chicago, Jim Marshall, and, you know, Ken Maley in Michigan, and all these distributors, they would send their better clients to my house. We'd hang out with them for a couple of days. As we taught them, we did some one-on-ones. They signed up for coaching. And then Randy said, we gotta call this something. And I said, well, let's just keep it simple. We'll call it the Summit because I live on Summit. We had no idea that it was going to get where it got. And then it started, and all of a sudden, we can't do it in our house anymore because it got big. So we went and rented a room in a beauty school. And then, you know, now people went to the school. And you blink, and meanwhile, I've been sponsored by L'Oreal, and I kept telling, at the time it was Redken, kept telling the guy I answered to, look, man, I think we're on to something here. He came to Minnie and took a peek at it and said, hey, okay, I want to sponsor this. I'm going to give you some money to pick up your overhead and blah, blah, blah. And when people come, they want to sign up. To the degree that they carry our product, we'll sponsor that. And that's how it, so you fast forward, I think that was 2001. By 2008-ish, I think Randy and I mean, it got big. It like got way big. And, right. You know, money magnifies us. So, you know, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And by then, you know, Randy and I, we suffer from narcissism. So we started kind of like, you know, two bulls that kind of, with buck heads, and we were fighting with each other, and Redken saw that, okay, you guys are great entrepreneurs, but you suck at, you know, organizing a business. That's when Peter Mahoney came into our life, and make a long story less long, he bought in, some other people bought in. It really, Randy and I stepped down as we're co-founders, but Peter is the president, and there's some other key people, Heather Bagby, Dave Kirby, Glenn Baker, Christy Valenzuela, Gavin, I mean, it goes on and on and on. And now, mm-hmm. you know, since 2010, that company now has like 100 coaches, man. And, you know, I show up in a room to do a talk. Everybody gives me a standing O and I go, shut up, sit down. Like I just, I suck at scaling this. I just, you know, but I continue to do what I've always done. I love hairdressers. I love salon owners. They let me do this and let me hang out with them. And so I'm grateful. And I think I'm contracted until about 2020. And after that, you know, I've got some other aspirations about some philanthropic work. I went back to the schools that I graduated from to help kids that are like me to have a better chance. So I have a feeling that, you know, 2021, I'll probably be pivoting full time to that.
But it's funny, you're going to be pivoting to that, and it's still coaching, still giving back, you know, just in a different avenue.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. I have to go to rehab for that. I have money issues, so we'll have to figure that one out.
Coming from Michael, the clamshell king. Michael, that's awesome. Michael, so going back to like when Peter and Glenn Baker and all of them first got involved, was there an emotional toll on you? I mean, to just give up, here's something that you've created and now you're giving that up?
Yeah.
Like what was that? Emotionally, what was that like?
You know, like how many hours do you have? I mean, it was like that was probably one of the most difficult pivots in my life. I think if Randy was here, he would say the same. So, you know, to just let go and trust that it was going to be better. And so it was unstable before it got stable. So and when I look back at it, I am so grateful that, you know, that old saying, when emotions are high, you know, intellect is low. So I had enough mindfulness to not trust my emotions, to not let my emotional thinking lead me to believe in stuff. So I had to go back to the beginning, just a willingness to believe that it was going to get better for it was better for everybody, because frankly, Randy and I had taken it as far as we could take it, and we were getting in everyone's way.
How do you keep feeling separated from decision making? You know, because most of us, you know, I kind of react on our, you know what I mean, through our emotions to be able to control it.
Yeah, like I'm going to be very transparent. I call it my mentor, but it's really my mentors are as much professional therapists. You know, like I go and, you know, I got to like melt down and my ego is going crazy. And, you know, I'm embarrassed, I'm humbled, I'm humiliated, I'm pissy, I'm resentful. I mean, I'm feeling all that crap at the same time. And I want to blowtorch anything that moves. And, you know, it's called rehab and, you know, counseling. And so I'm grateful because I come out of those rooms, I go on retreats. Spiritual retreats. I have a spiritual mentor, and all those conversations help the beast in the East to just like calm down. And so that I can access enough wisdom and common sense where the, you know, the deeper inner voice, the still small voice says it's going to be okay. This is way, you know, I got bigger plans for you. So I just, there's been many times I have faith in my faith and it's working. And if you talk to my partners now, they would say he's less of a pain in the ass now than he's probably ever. For a while, I was my partner's worst nightmare.
That's truth, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's truth. I think part of the human experience is to kind of process through that, you know, and as you get older, I think a couple of things happen is one is you just slow down a little bit. Right. And keep your eye on the big picture and not into the emotional picture and not into the emotional moment, I think is what it is. Right. It's an emotional moment as opposed to the big picture. And, you know, the big picture is much better served. Right. And that's incredible, Michael. That's thanks for sharing.
There's
that.
Another piece of this, too, is I mean, you're asking me questions. I don't usually reflect this way. But the other piece of it that I think really saved my butt was as I continue to coach people and watch people that have been coached by my colleagues and my partners, they tell us their story. We're now a big part of their, you know, how their life was before they came to a summit and what happened at summit. And then they go home and they change. And, you know, I just did my 108th interview and it's all about Summit people, I interview them like you're interviewing me. Who in the heck are you and how did you end here? And they tell the story, but that part of what happened to me is then I went to Summit and I had my coach and yes, I had a walkout, but these other people came. And then when I interviewed Summit stylists, I was on welfare. I was a single mom at 18 and then I went to school on welfare and then I went to work in the salon. It was Summit and this guy showed me the chart and I went there and I'm 24 now and I made 100,000 and I'm not on welfare anymore. It's like, holy cow. I mean, this really works. And so I'm like, it's like a death to us part. It's doing more than I ever fathomed it would do. And when I say doing more, yes, it's growing. And I think that's wonderful that it's growing, but it's really changing the souls and the hearts and the minds of, you know, the service providers and salon owners and managers and leaders. So that village now is around 50,000 people. And I get to watch people change now. And I think in retrospect, that's why I stayed and why I'm going to continue to stay.
Yeah. It's great when you can see your company grow. But when you see the actual impact it's having on the lives that you're coaching, that's to me, the true riches, right? The true reward of something like that.
That's amazing. I mean, and you know, Michael's only talking about the people that that he's been able to talk to or to be able to touch. I mean, think about the many thousands of people that never have the opportunity to kind of sit down with Michael. I mean, it's more than just those lives. It's lots and lots and lots of lives. I know when I first got into a Summit salon, I guess it was like 9 years ago now, I was sitting down with a fellow hairdresser and they're like, do you know how much different our life would be if we found this in year one or year two? And actually I saw that Summit now has a hair school.
or like I saw one in Tampa, right? Like you guys have a hair school, and someone has a hair school in Tampa, which just blows me away. Can you imagine like this being your base? Like, you know, no different, you know, no, nothing else but Summit.
Right. Year one, you're trained this way.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, the greatest thing about Summit, for those that don't know, or for those that are listening that might never had the experience, is that Summit, you have to earn your way. Right. And it teaches such an incredible discipline for your day-to-day life in the salon. You know, there's no more like messing off in the back room, because that's not helping you. And it holds you 100% accountable. And, you know, in this world now, that's what we need. Right. That's incredible. So, Michael, like you've done some stuff, man. It's pretty crazy. How are you scared, or how do you embrace like risk taking?
Yeah, no, I one of the main issues in my life today, you know, Corey, is fear. I am not, whatever you want to characterize me as being, fearlessness would not be one of the character traits. I'm just very, very, you know, fear is an issue. And, you know, I mean, in the name of being transparent, in my ride, I've actually, you know, PTSD from all of the, you know, rides. So I struggle with fear, but I'm around enough extraordinary people that I have courage. And a lot of the courage I have, I receive from the encouragement of people that I have regard for. And to me, courage doesn't mean I'm fearless. Courage just says, look, you know, my heart's beating fast, my palms are sweaty, I've got shortness of breath. However, I am not going to let fear stop me from taking the very actions that are triggering my fear. So I'm able to, you know, Peter Mahoney would call it pushing through fear. I would call it walking through it, getting through the fear, taking the actions, and then seeing on the other side, A, it didn't kill me. Like, you know, the light at the end of the tunnel might have looked like and felt like it was a train coming my way and I was going to be annihilated in a nanosecond and it was imminent. But, you know, sooner or later, you get on the other side of that and you realize, I do anyway, I'm hallucinating. I'm going to be okay. I took the action, and the actions I took yielded enough of a result where, okay, I get it. So to the degree I don't let fear stop me, I'll take, and when I talk about fear, I'm talking about irrational fear. I mean, you know, there's times where fear is a wonderful thing. It gets you out of trouble. But most of the fears that stop people that we coach are not rational. They're irrational. We got a story we're telling ourselves. And so I've just gotten skillful enough that fear, while I still have it, it doesn't have the hold on me that it did times gone past.
I don't know if it was you, Michael, or for somebody from Summit, but a great quote that I heard about fear was that if you're filling in the blanks, then that's fear talking. You know, if you let the blank, if you let the blanks fill themselves, then that's rational.
I love that. Yeah, I think I was watching a Seth Godin and what is it? Who's the other guy that start with why?
Who's that dude?
Guy, Simon Sinek. They were doing it. And I think I heard something like that. And say that one again, because that was so cool.
If you are filling in the blanks, then that's fear talking.
Yeah.
And if you let the blanks fill in themselves, then that's the truth.
Yeah, that's a great one. Wonderful.
That's a good one. What we were talking about earlier, you know, as you know, our live paths, you know, open up or work themselves out. And I think you kind of mentioned it, but I think as we, you know, live this life, our pattern recognition gets a lot better. And for me, that pattern recognition means exactly that. Hey, listen, my palms have been sweaty before, and I've been, look, we're quoting Eminem, right? Isn't that your Lose Yourself song? We're quoting Eminem. But, you know, I think it's about the pattern recognition. You know, we've done this. So, you know, until you've done it, you don't have the skills, or you don't have the mindset to push through it. So, you know, unfortunately, you have to push through it to get there, right? And you have to push through it so you know next time to push through it. It's such a weird kind of like catch-22, right?
Oh, yeah. And I think you got your finger on it. There's, you know, I call it two ways of knowing. There's knowing, and then there's knowing in a way that makes a difference. And that distinction on the second part of knowing is you've done it. That, you know, if I just know it, yeah, give me the test. Where's the test? True, false, multiple choice, essay, I can slam it. But until you know it in a way that makes a difference, you're not going to enjoy the fruit. And but there's no way you can get to that place without doing it. And it's a, you know, it's a trial and error process. It's three steps forward, two steps back, you know, five steps forward, you know, six, seven steps back. And it takes, it's a ride for me anyway, that's been excruciatingly wonderful in that order.
I love that.
Wow. And obviously through that walk, you got, you know, in your journey, I mean, you've developed leadership skills. Which leadership skill was the most difficult for you to develop?
Oh my God. Probably one or two come to mind. The first is the ability to just listen. I think Corey said, without filling in the blank, to listen without judgment, especially when I'm on the receiving end of somebody that's telling me something that's emotionally charged with judgment, and maybe I'm the subject that they're talking about. So they're in front of me and they're very emotional and they're confessing my sins to me. And you know, how do I stay in that space, not let it hook my stuff? So all of a sudden all we're doing is taking turns blowtorching each other.
Right. That's easy to try to be in defense, right? Oh, to put up walls,
yeah.
and try to,
you know, right.
to fire back, like you said.
And, you know, you don't get to places that we get to without learning how to become well defended, because you can get annihilated. You know, you're a bigger bullseye. So it's not that I don't know how to be well defended. It's I'm in a place now that, well, you know, you're entitled to have whatever opinions you're going to have of me, and I'm going to let you have them, but I'm going to be mindful enough to not identify myself with your opinion of me, because it's frankly, it's toxic. And, you know, and it's not that I'm perfect, you know, I got my stuff, but, you know, on a regular basis, there are people that I go to confess my sins to, and I'm going to let you confess my sins. But, you know, I can't take it personal. So as I'm getting older, as I'm getting more mindful, I'm not personalizing it as much. And when somebody is done, you know, with that cathartic dump, to just be able to give them back what I heard them tell me without the judgment on it, to go say, you know, like, it, and that's the paraphrase. And that took many, many years, and I'm still working on that, and I don't bat 1,000. I mean, as many times as it's working in the moment, there are a number of times it isn't. I get hooked, and all of a sudden, I'm batshit crazy. But I'm waking up sooner than I used to. I'm staying awake longer before, you know, falling back to sleep. And, you know, when you hang out with conscious people, I think that's what, you know, we become like those we hang out with most.
I love that, wake up sooner and, you know, stay awake longer. That's pretty awesome, man. I think I'm going to steal that. That's tattooable.
Right.
That's pretty incredible. Michael, man, you've had a journey, man. That's thank you again for being transparent, and thank you for sharing our story. We'll talk about values a little bit. What values are you most committed to, Michael?
Well, it's interesting. We just came back from a summit board meeting, and we were all kind of on retreat together, and we were just having that conversation that
look, we have the pulse of summit. Listen to that.
What is it? Peter would call it purpose, passion, and prosperity. So, you know, the purpose is, you know, start with why, what is the why behind what we do? And is it a higher why? Does it go beyond making money? You know, it's changing the lives of people that we serve. And, you know, and then what are the values? What are the values we need to be living? And values is to us just an idea that we would place supreme importance on. And so if our behavior is like, what do they call it? Paired up to value, we're going to be behaving in a way that prospers ourselves and the people we serve. So the values would be, as you call it, transparency, right. Integrity, compassion, a healthy sense of self-esteem, which is different than, you know, being grandiose, at risk of sounding a little bit kumbaya, love, just to just really, you know, see the good in people, even though what's coming out of them would appear to be contrary. When somebody is, you know, having their meltdown, to stay responsible, the ability to be more responsive and less reactive. So those are the values. And then, you know, believing in powers greater than me, you know, the power of we is greater than me. So, you know, my higher powers work a lot through people around me, people like yourself, people like my partners, you know, and so to just always be mindful of that. To me, when somebody says they're value driven, I think those are the ideas that they're referring to.
Another boom.
Yeah.
You know, like I never know where to go next because I'm just like, I have to kind of like absorb it in or kind of, you know, process it. Boom. Thanks, like, Michael. Thanks for that boom, boom. We got boomed from the boom guy.
Boom, boom.
Right.
That's incredible, man.
So for our listeners, what are some of the career changing products that you would recommend for someone who wants to trying to get what we're talking about? I mean, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, yeah. Well, there's a couple that Summit has this some audio stuff called the pillars, the four pillars. And that's a conversation that happens. I think we're all in the same studio for the same day at the same time having conversations. And there, if I'm a salon owner that in a nutshell saying, I'd like to find out more about this, that would be some, you know, an audio resource that I'd be hanging out with. Peter Mahoney and Glenn Baker and I just did something not long ago in Peter's class. He did a class on it at the symposium. Let me see if I can pull it up while I'm talking to you, because that's a bit that's one as well. Oh, the magic of momentum is what that one's called. And then I have, you know, some of my partners did a favorite called the Associate Program, Get Smart, Intelligent Verbiage. I mean, if you just went on summitsalon.com and just looked in their product library. And then the other is that there's some free stuff that's really cool. Like, you know, if you go to YouTube and you plug in Summit Salon, we got a YouTube page with just a boatload of, you know, webcasts. You know, I do a lot of stuff there, and you don't need to watch that. You know, Bluetooth your mobile to your drive time, and it works as well as a podcast as it does as a webcast. So all of that resource now, and it continues to grow. So I there's a number of people when I meet them that go, I struggle, but I like, what can I do? And I, well, what, you know, what's your drive time to work? Well, it's why don't just your 10-minute drive time to work, hang out with us in your car. And, you know, you don't need to listen to us on the way home, but it just maybe it'll set you up to have a better day than you would listening to whatever it is you're listening to. And it works for a lot of people.
Well, the magic of the audio format is that it's all passive listening, right? You can do anything. I mean, I cut my grass listening to podcasts or, you know, mainly history podcasts because I'm such a dork, but that's the magic of podcasts, you know, and, you know, we actually have a challenge that we promote on Instagram, and that's like, we want to see how you're passively listening to our podcast. So, you know, please post pictures and videos of how you're passively listening to it. I mean, I think that's the magic of the audio format.
Yeah. Know? Do you guys tackle social media as well? I mean, as right now, social media is having a huge impact in our industry.
In my own teaching now, I have done a major, major pivot to social media training. There's a course that I helped to co-create called Summit Social Media Virtual Bootcamp, where, and you can get the info on summitsalon.com, where you don't need to leave your home. You can, you know, get on, actually it's a zoom.com call, and 4 1-hour classes over 4 weeks to get, you know, really all things social. Anywhere I go now, probably 75% of the conversation is what is social? How do you get yourself modernized around social media? How do you monetize social so that you can maximize the potential of it? I'm one of probably a handful of people at Summit that are trying to stay out in front of it. And then, as you two know, it's coming at all of us at Mach 5. So all of us have shortness of breath as we're trying to get our arms around this real fast-moving beast who has rapidly become the single most important key success factor, you know, in the salon business.
Hey, Michael, I don't know if I'm about to trip you up or if I'm about to give you a handoff, but you posted something a couple of days ago about, I think you said 2017 was the biggest change you've ever seen in the industry. Do you want to dive into that?
Yeah. I've seen, you know, and people think I'm exaggerating, but I really, if you look at, you know, where Instagram was even a year ago to, you know, how, and when I say where it was at, well, you know, the innovators, the hairdressers that are true innovators, social media innovators, and people don't know what that means. I'm going, well, they're on Instagram and they're on a daily basis looking for the next feature of Instagram or looking and discovering what is the next new way of using Instagram to make money and brand themselves. And it's almost like a snowball, where it looks like it's evolved almost 20 years in 1 year. The irony is the majority of people in the salon currently at best are wading into the pool. They're trying to figure out, how do I download the Instagram app? Like, how do you sign up for Instagram? You know, how do you navigate it? And in the meantime, it's moved, and we're to a place now where old is no longer being defined by age.
No doubt.
Yeah, to what degree do you understand how to use Instagram or Facebook or whatever your platform of choice is, how to use it to make a lot of money quickly?
A couple of weeks ago, we talked to Eric Taylor, who is the owner, the innovator, the everything of Salon Republic in LA. And he has, you know, he touches 1,000, you know, service providers a day. But, you know, one of the things that he did is he's actually, he set up a photo studio in each one of his salons. So, you know, even, cause he said, listen, not everybody's great at taking pictures. Those that are great at taking pictures are great at taking pictures, but those that are not, you know, he kind of helped them along. And, he just kind of set up, a lighting corner, I think is what he called it, you know? And, so it's just where you have perfect lighting. So, you know, it's kind of like going on a game show. You stand in the X and you take a couple pictures and boom, there you go. Now they're Instagram ready.
Yeah, you would think a lot of salons would maybe adapt that because they can use that as well, being, sure, you know, hashtag whatever. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it can go viral. You never know.
You never know. You know, the right hashtags, the right people see it, and who knows, you know, and let's be honest. I mean, you know, we're people who love validation, and what better validation is there than to get like a like from a Michael Cole or something on, you know, one of your posts? You know, that's
right.
That's incredibly validating. You know, it's pretty awesome.
You know, to your point, the social now in a salon, you know, you might have 20% of the people in the salon community within that salon that are in the game. But there are enough in it that when they're giving that just the what we used to call having your picture taken is now a photo shoot. You know, so you right, escort your guest, your client to this place. It's a kiosk. You know, there's 7 poses. You know, we're taking 10, 15, 20 pictures. Mm-hmm. And meanwhile, other clients that are in the seats of hairdressers that aren't there yet are seeing this. And they're curious. It's almost like what glamour shots was, you know, 10, 20 years ago. And they're saying to their hairdressers, hey, like, what do I got to do to like have that? That looks like an interesting experience. And if you're a hairdresser that's not in it yet, those are awkward moments, man. It's like,
yeah,
okay, I need to get into this because it's getting, I have more of my clients that are inquiring about it. And it can be daunting because if you were just getting in it a year ago, While it would have been effortful to learn, it would not be nearly as effortful if you're getting in it today. To go from no social to really into social, it's not a learning curve. It's multiple learning curves. And each one of those learning curves has a trial and error part in it. And for a hairdresser that really hasn't been on a learning curve for a while because they've got it, they had all the traditional stuff figured out. It's like, oh, wow, I've got shortness of breath. And I think that's what's creating the opportunity to be social media educators.
Well, they, you know, to go back to your point, or to go back to our point, because I think I was part of that point too, that, you know, until you get to the point of, you can't do it till you do it, right? You can't learn it till you've done it, until you do it. So you have to be committed to just at least try, you know, give yourself a 90 days. I think 90 days is fair. And just put up as many pictures as you possibly can. And you're going to learn a ton. You know, you're going to learn those poses. And, you know, don't be embarrassed by the pictures that you're putting up.
Yeah, right? Like we talked about earlier. You know what I mean? A lot of people, I think, especially older hairdressers, I think their fear of the new technology, right? Or fear of the... the whole social media game, and they need to overcome that and you know, push through that fear like we talked about earlier, and just do it.
Yeah.
Well, like the great Gary Vee says, technology doesn't care. You know, technology doesn't care. It's keep on moving.
And the single fastest growing division at Summit now is the social media virtual coaching, where there's so much to learn. You can go sit in a class or a 2-day class and get it, but then you go home overwhelmed. You need a coach to, I don't want to say hold you accountable, but a great coach will help you hold yourself accountable to go through the learning curve, because especially a technology learning curve, it can be daunting.
It certainly can, but you know, at the same time, it's also so easy. You know, it's not that difficult. The hardest thing is again combating that fear that you have, right? Like almost all cell phones have amazing cameras now. You know, and now with ring lights and stuff out, I mean, they don't give you the greatest picture, but it's a place to start, right? And it can it's easy if you just commit to it being, well, easy, right?
Easier said than done.
People that now the hairdresser is saying, look, if I don't do this here pretty quick, I'm going to begin losing my clients to other people, like that other hairdressers that are offering this experience. So, you know, nothing, that motivates us to really change. I would call that, that's now starting to feel like crisis.
Yeah. The awkward thing, like once I started posting more pictures on Instagram, my awkward moment was, then you have other clients coming in like, what do I got to do to get on Instagram? And I'm kind of like, oh, awkward.
That's what he was saying.
Right. But yeah, I mean, even with my own clients, and I'm like, not everybody is, right. You know, Instagram worthy. I'm such a schmuck.
I feel like I've been at church today, you know, being preached at. It was sitting in a service.
In a positive way, right?
Oh, 100%. It feels like, you know what I mean? I don't want it to end, but.
I don't want it to end either. You know, Michael, so one last question before we start to settle down. What is Michael? And hold on, Michael, I've got to set it up, right? There's no room for bullshit here. So, you know, like world peace and all that, that can't be. But is there a thing, is there something that Michael Cole is absolutely obsessed with right now?
Yeah, there's my, you know, I am, you know, if you can be OCD on anything, I probably have it. So, you know, I'm obsessive compulsive about a lot of stuff. In my career, it's just, I've become a social media evangelist. How many hairdressers that aren't in it yet can I help to get in it so that they, you know, can enjoy the fruits from getting in it? And then there's, in my philanthropic life, I just am absolutely obsessed with I hang out a day or so a week in elementary schools, a kindergarten, first, second, even third grade. I'm way interested in, because that's the part where we are learning to read, so that in the fourth grade we can start using reading in order to learn. And there's too many kids that are going over that Rubicon that are not ready. So I'm working with companies now that are doing much better jobs at helping children to learn to read so that they're literate. And there's all kinds of stats now with, you know, prison populations and people that suffer from addictions. They have many things in common. One of them is literacy gap. So that's kind of what drives my soul when I'm not in the salon game, being an evangelical social media guy.
Wow. You know, listen, that was supposed to be a light question. And once again, hey, give it to us, Michael. Give us the boom. Give us the boom.
Love it.
That's absolutely incredible. So, Michael, I think we make it official.
Yep.
Let's make it official. Mr. Michael Cole, the legend, the man, Michael Cole, thank you very, very much for joining us on your day off. Hey, so there it is. Hey, this is a message that we've been trying to bring, I don't know, for the last couple months, actually since we started the podcast. Hey, so if you like the podcast or if you find that it's useful, please, please, please leave us a review, a 5-star review on iTunes. Leave us a rating and a review.
But if you don't like it, forget about it.
Yeah, totally forget about this message. We also want to thank Sarah and Blaine from Pretty Gritty. Sarah and Blaine, they are a band out of Portland, Oregon, and we just want to thank them very much for allowing us to use their song, Pleased to Meet You, on our podcast. That's cool. I think you can find their music on iTunes.
Peace and hair grease.